Well, welcome and good morning, everybody. It is good afternoon on the East Coast. Welcome to another Hour of Truth. And we'll see if we can actually make it an hour this time. I don't know if we're going to make it an hour or not. We'll see.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Yes, I'm Paul Muller, and that's Philip Morfall. Philip Joseph. Joseph Philip. What are we gonna we've already run the thing off the rails and we weren't even trying. You know, Steve said something in his service. He said, you know, the truth testifies against me. Why would I want to hear the truth? You know, if there's no mercy and no grace out there, I just want to run and hide from the truth. I don't want to know it. Why would I want to know the truth?
Yeah, if there's no mercy, why don't I just go about my way and just go do whatever the heck I want instead of spend 20 years locked up in jail waiting on death row? There's no mercy.
Yeah.
Why would I want to preach the truth if it testifies against me and then there's no mercy? There is mercy.
One of the things that you need to make sure of is that's on when you're talking.
I believe it's on.
Okay. Because
it's on.
We've had Sue said she had audio problems on your mic.
Okay.
Last week.
I hope that's better. Somebody can kick back it.
Okay. We were kind of batting around here before. We started was we do a song called what is it called?
Those that wait upon the Lord
shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall
walk and not faint.
Walk and not faint.
Teach me, Lord.
Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Well, that doesn't mean sitting around drinking coffee and eating donuts waiting for the Lord. So, just... Sue says, just remember to eat the mic, buddy. Eat the mic.
All right.
So, for the longest time, when I heard that song, that's pretty much my mental image was... Okay, if that's all we got to do is sit around and wait on the Lord, then I'm here, but I can do that. Then somebody pointed out that meant like a waiter.
Serves.
Oh.
Serves.
Okay. It was Rick that was telling you to eat the mic. I should have known that. That is his phrase. See, that's the problem with the chat room. When the chat room's open and I'm doing this thing, then I want to respond to the chats all hour instead of actually...
Staying on point.
So, the deal that busted the bubble... Yeah, shiny thing. Thank you for that. The busting of the bubble that waiting on the Lord meant serving the Lord... There's so much involved in that. I mean, there's surrender. There's ownership. There's expectation. And then you have to deal with whether it's profitable or unprofitable, your service. Right?
Yeah.
If you've just done what was expected of you, then you're yet unprofitable. Unless you've done more than was expected of you. So, the truth of the matter is we don't even, when we get it right, we don't even think of it in the right way. Because when we read that and it says it will renew their strength, we expect that means that we're not going to get that strength is related to tiredness, but it isn't. It's the opposite of that strength is when you're all about yourself. You get into a position where you just lose the will to live.
Yeah.
You don't want to get out of bed. There's nothing you can... The next thing, until nothing satisfies you, and you just lose the will to live. And that's what that strength is talking about. It's being strengthened with what is necessary to do to serve the Lord.
Amen. Well, and one of the points that you brought up that I thought was very clear when we were discussing this after the matter was looking at it as an army term, as far as like you ran out of ammunition and you're stuck there with the enemy with their guns in your face and you're going to be your doom.
Yeah.
The one thing is when you have that strength of the Lord, you have the ammunition to get to destroy the enemy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The unbelief, the old man, I should say.
Right.
And that was a good terminology. For me, that made it very clear.
Right.
So I wanted to share that as well.
So, the other thing is, and I'm not sure that, pardon me, my voice is just doing it again. And I rebuke that. Okay. I apologize for the throat clearing. other thing, we were chatting about, you know, how the service went, and we've got, we were looking at John 15, and our... whether or not we're bearing fruit, if we're going to be a branch on the vine, are we bearing fruit? It is not our natural state to want to do anything but sit around and suck nutrients out of the vine. We don't give a crap whether there's any fruit to eat or not. And especially when you refer to that fruit as being love.
And that love being agape love.
Agape love. A choice, a preference of other people before yourself, of the Lord before anything else. And that is not our natural state. We don't seek...
We don't seek the ways of the Lord. We are all about ourselves. What feels good to us, what we want to do. One of the things that we were talking about is, you know, if our natural state is Paul and I wake up 12 o'clock Sunday morning, football's on, drink some beer, and then hang out. I mean, that's our natural state.
That's right.
That's our natural state. It's something we choose to yet put off.
That's right. Well, maybe not the football. Phil's over here trying to cover up the chat room, and it's I really don't know why I open it. I'm just saying.
Well, praise God. One of the things was
now and then somebody might have something to say that's good.
I mean, one of the things we also talked about was the Lord's good. I mean, because in the fact of us doing that, we would have no comfort in doing it. I mean,
not now.
Not now. Yeah. I mean. Years ago, yeah, but not now.
Right.
I mean, and that's just the Lord is good, not just to us, but also to the people. One of the things that we were talking about renewing their strength. And what I remember Steve was talking about was one of those things you were talking about just, man, you just lost the will to live. And we're looking at the situations at hand, and one of the things of renewing the strength, I noticed, Paul, with me personally, getting... talking with Steve more, talking with you more, and the things that are at hand in situations to deal with seem very overwhelming and not doable. But as we go forward to seek to do that which the Lord has, we are renewed in seeing it as we are able. Not with us, but with the Lord.
There's all kinds of the benefits, personal benefits to that. I mean, the... what does he say in 15? These things... I have spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full.
Yeah.
The closer you are to actually fulfilling, seeking to fulfill that commandment that you love one another. How many times in John does he say that? How many times in 1 John does he say that? I mean, you think it might be important?
Very important. I mean, that's the fruit that he's talking about, is the preference of choice for others before yourself. God before all things and others before yourself.
Right.
He doesn't leave you hanging with not knowing what that is.
Right.
And then he doesn't...
You don't need a decoder ring.
Exactly. And he doesn't leave you hanging with not being able to do it.
Right.
I mean, because he gives us the freedom of this flesh into the bondage, stuck in it forever. He gives us the freedom of that, reconnected back to his purpose. He destroys the flesh where he's died and resurrected again. And by faith, we don't have this, so we don't have to listen to this old man anymore.
You know, I know our laughing can be, during the show, can be irritating probably to listeners. But this is joyous. This is where we meet the Lord's purpose. It is to minister the word of the Lord, to serve the Lord,
amen.
To love others enough that even when I'm too tired to be here,
I really haven't met you where you're not too tired to be,
or
apologize.
Have nothing. I have nothing. Well, I don't ever have nothing. I have the Lord and the Lord's Word. And when we're talking about the Lord, it's joyous.
Amen. And the point where you're saying you have nothing, you have, in the sense of you saying that, is I have nothing in this flesh. I have nothing of myself.
Right.
But if I have the Lord, that's all I need.
That's what the testimony of Scripture is.
And
when Paul says he determined no nothing, said Jesus among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, that's all you need.
Amen. Amen.
Then it's not all about you. It's about him.
And when you're really freed in that, you're full of joy.
Right.
We've been there.
Right.
Full of joy. Nothing. Nothing matters. Not where your next meal comes from, not how you're going to pay this bill. Not this situation is too big for you. None of these things matter. It's just all the Lord's, and you can trust Him with that.
Amen.
If that is where you're lining yourself up with.
It's like you went up to preach, and you're going to John 15, and I was just going, oh, jeez. He's been cheating off my paper again. And that just, you know, that just confirmed that this was what we were supposed to talk about. We came up with it independently. And I didn't change. Because he did it. I knew that, you know, the Lord was going to use it for his purposes. And there was a time when I heard that. and a time when I would have spent the next 15 or 20 minutes frantically going, okay, Lord, we got to do something else here. And, you know, I don't worry about it anymore. Because the Lord's bigger than that. And
amen.
I can expect that he's going to give me stuff he didn't give you.
Amen. Well, I knew that was the case right off the rip. I said, I thank God that you're there in those things.
So.
And, you know, the profitability of, you know, one of the things said was just, you know, without mercy, it's like hopeless. But the Lord doesn't leave us hopeless because He gives out grace and mercy. And He's there, those things that I've seen that I testified that, man, I need to change. Man, I need to change. That, a lot of those things hit me this week. Man, I need to change the way I'm doing things because my way is not profitable, but His way is. And the Lord is there, faithful to forgive me. And not just that, but show me His way more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a freedom. It's a freedom that He gives. It's not bondage. It's a freedom.
We really never did finish the rest of the line, the rest of the words that I quoted from that song. But again, it says you can run and not get weary. You can walk and not faint. Not if you're running for yourself. You know, if you're about glorifying the Lord and serving Him, that He has purchased you with a price and you're His.
Amen.
You've turned your life over to Him and it's no longer yours. It's His.
Amen.
Do with whatever He wants. And if you're doing your thing, you're going to get tired.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You're going to get weary. And when you try to walk because you can't run anymore, then you're going to faint.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's a sign to turn.
Yes.
That's a sign to turn to the Lord. And to the source. And have Him look. And one of David's prayer was, look, even your motives aren't right. Look, Lord, apparently my motives are off. And my motives aren't right.
Right.
And I'm standing from the standpoint of getting faint. Of getting weary. Of not having strength. I'm standing in that point. And you turn unto the Lord and say, look, my motives aren't... Look, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And that was David's prayer.
Yeah, if you study the prayers of David, what you'll find is they're prayers that work.
Yeah.
Go figure.
You look, straighten out my motive. It's not right, Lord. I give these things.
These are the things the Lord will do.
Yeah. Lord, I mean, you mean to get this thing right. You mean to turn around. You mean to get right with the Lord. He's there. Give it to Him. Confess it before Him.
Ah, there it is. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He'll answer that prayer.
Amen.
Every time.
Amen. And that is a very good one. And that's the place that we really need to get to and want to say that prayer. Because I know, for me, have seen that and says, well, I don't know if I want to say that. Because the truth of the matter is because I know that there is.
Right. Absolutely.
But if we believe that He's a good Father, we also believe in His mercy and grace. And we also believe that He can get us to the point to get rid of those things. And that's the prayer we really need to be saying.
What was it? I don't remember if Elijah said it or not. But remember when, you know, he was running away from... he had just brought down the fire and he started running away from Jezebel?
Yes.
And he sits down and he goes, oh, he despairs of life itself. He says, oh God, just kill me now. I'm no better than any of my fathers that went before me. And I kind of fancied myself as having something going here, but clearly I'm just like they are. And you know, that's not just humiliating, and but to be able to admit that before the Lord is yet a place where He can minister to you.
And He did. He did minister to Elijah.
Yeah.
And He showed him all these, His power and all these things, and the Lord was not in it.
Right.
Then He showed up.
Yep.
You know, I had one of those glimpses this, what was it? I think Monday was one of those things. Where, you know, I do Bible study with the girls, and
did I say Elijah or did I say something else?
You say Elijah. You
good,
said Elijah.
Good. Okay.
And one of the things was, here I am, you know, here's work, and it's a tough situation. It, boss's back is hurt. He's leaving. The RO crashes. Let me tell you, when the RO crashes, that means every information that you got that day to help fix vehicles, cars, is lost. So I mean, you're looking at midday and all these things. So I mean, there's just a lot of things that happen and come down. And did I yet fret? Yes. did I yet freak out? I mean, me, you know, the prayer kind of slipped my mind. And looking at the situation is just absolutely terrible. But Lord, I remember coming to that place and I said, Lord, look, Lord, I know I'm not in the right place. Lord, I'm no different than the children of Israel in the sense of the murmuring and complaining about the situations, they're giants. I said, yeah, I'm no different, Lord. I'm no different. And I said, Lord, please forgive me. And please help the RO come back on. It was 3 minutes later, RO came right back on. We got things squared away and everything. We got to the finish line that day. And that's how, praise the Lord. But what it showed me, I'm no different than the children of Israel. When I fret in these situations, it's a lack of trust in God. It's a lack of confidence in His ability. And all these things. All I see is I'm doomed, can't do anything. You know, when I do that, that's essentially what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It's the unbelief of the children of Israel. The Lord's not called us into that. No. The Lord's not called us into that.
No, He hadn't. But, you know, Steve said another thing that I manage somehow to forget every time I'm asked to define meekness. And he said, you know, it's not having any confidence in yourself. That's how Moses can be the meekest among men. His confidence was in the Lord.
Amen. And you've seen the love of Moses on the hand where he made intercession for the people, even though the people were absolutely going against Moses, and just Moses being obedient to the Lord, the people went against Moses, and you see that yet he still makes intercession for them. I mean, you would come along with that meekness, he also had that love, that fruit he was bearing.
Well, I think with one more observation, I'm going to give John 15 a rest.
Okay.
And that is 15:8. Here is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So this is how it's going to be if you're going to be my disciples. You're going to bear much fruit. You're going to glorify the Father. That's what this is all about. And it is the ownership. He owns us. And we serve Him. And He's gracious and He's merciful and the best master you could ever have.
Amen. And that's why when your joy is full, when you do His commandments, it's because you're doing what you were created to do. That's why you have so much joy when you're in that sweet spot, I call it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's filled.
I think I patented that term. I don't think you did.
Oh.
My term.
Yeah. Your term. I apologize.
See how you are.
I am. dirtbag.
You're no fun at all. You agreed to that way too fast. The whole treatment of this stuff, what we're supposed to be here learning, is to walk as he walked in you know, 1 John. And to get it right here. Amen. So we can stay having gotten it right and be instant in obedience in heaven where the grace is gone. No grace. Amen. There. In order to be able to stay, you have to get it right here. And you can keep going till you get it right here, if that's what you want to do. That's one he's going to deliver. That's his desire. And when that, your attitude is, he owns me and whatever he wants is what I'm going to do. And when you're in that place, it's like I kind of said kind of glibly at the end of the service, when you're in that place, it doesn't matter where here is.
That's right.
You can do it anywhere he puts you.
And under any situation. Uh-huh. Because you're really not under it.
Right.
In any situation. And
that's the goodness in his provision.
You know, what does the Lord say? I mean, the psalm says the Lord's beautiful for situation.
Amen.
And one, I know, who have not got there yet.
No.
As the situations arise. But it doesn't mean I won't stay there. I won't stay there.
Well, I am sitting here looking for...
I read... Well, Romans was one that kind of came up to mind, Paul. And the fact of... What was it that you said? You know, what you said during service, what brought to my mind in Romans, and I was thinking of Romans beforehand, where you were saying, if you're not bearing fruit and you're just taking up the nutrients there, what makes you think that you're going to stay grafted into the... Are you going to not be cut off, is what you said.
Right.
And I was thinking of Romans, where Romans it talks about, we're not even the natural branches.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for in Romans right now.
Romans, it's in Romans 11.
Ah.
Let's see here. It is the, you start at 16. And you go on down, it starts talking about that. Starts really 17, but 16 really.
He's talking about Israel here.
Right.
For the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world. What shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Because they're going to come back.
Yes.
And he's relating that to a type of Jesus' life from the dead. And for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, Israel, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. because you can get cut off just as easily as you got grafted in.
Absolutely. I mean, we're talking about the natural. I mean, it says right here, up here it's contrary to nature, that, and if some branches be broken off, now being a wild olive tree or graft in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree. And it goes down, I thought I said somewhere contrary to nature, but the point of these were the natural branches that were cut off by unbelief. What makes you think by unbelief that you're not the natural branch and you're not going to get cut off? Yeah.
You're easy to get rid of as a natural one.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you what. Be not high-minded, but fear. I am there. I got that one. I got that one. I you know. And it concerns me. I don't see that much fear out there. I don't know.
The fact of being, and I'm not talking the fear.
Fear of God.
Fear of the outside. I see plenty of that. The spirit of fear, the fear of what's going to happen, what's going to, how am I going to be taken care of? I see plenty of that, but the fear of the Lord, like David did, cast not thy way, cast not
my spirit from me.
Yeah. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Right.
So his spirit didn't, no matter what happened, didn't care. He just did not want to be not in the presence of God anymore.
Right.
I mean, that's the fear we should have.
Right.
But that is just so drowned out. But they take on the bondage of the spirit of fear, which is the Lord is trying to free you from.
Yeah.
And take on that fear instead. And the fear of the Lord is gone. And it needs to be absolutely reversed.
And in pride, you know, pride and disobedience and arrogance and presumption, you count that fear as something. When it's absolutely nothing, because you're not in the right place. It is a terror of impending judgment that you've moved into a place where you deserve it.
Yeah.
So, the capability we have of self-deception is an amazing thing, and self-justification. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken up. Go ahead.
I said, I was saying, some of the things I hit on this morning.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to get brass truth. We need to get brass truth with the Lord. We need to knuckle down, get honest before Him, get honest with ourselves. I mean, the Lord's there. But we keep from receiving His grace just by our own justification, our own self-deception, by leaning on our own understanding way too oft. You know?
Gail said, it's amazing how little fear of the Lord is in the world. As I know it, I'm not talking about in the world. I'm talking about in the church. That's scary. Where was I? Okay.
You said, verse 20.
Because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Because your faith isn't going to be any better than their faith if you are high-minded.
And that faith is one of the things that does something you deserve. No, you don't deserve it. I mean, one of those things that be not high-minded. I mean, it's only by His grace. It's only by what He has done. It's only by what He has done.
Right. Absolutely.
That you're covered. And that's it. And nothing that you can do. Or not because you're special. Or any of those things. It's by because of what He has done.
If God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest He also spare not thee. you get that one?
Yeah.
That was the point. No. If he didn't spare the natural branches...
Because of unbelief.
Because of unbelief. What makes you think you're special?
Yeah, he's going to spare you because of unbelief.
You know, this is the church I was talking about, Gail. And you don't have to know what's in their hearts. You can see what they do. You can see what they do. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off.
You know, that continuing in his goodness, you know what comes to mind with that, Paulie? That continuing goodness, that there is in him no darkness at all.
Right. First John again.
Yeah.
And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again.
Look, it ain't over.
The mercy and the graciousness of God is still there.
Oh, absolutely.
He hadn't moved. But if thou were cut off the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, huh?
That's what I was thinking of, the we're grafting contrary to nature,
right,
into a good olive tree. It's not natural for this to happen.
Right. How much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Yeah, if they turn
from the law and turn unto the faith in Jesus Christ. How much more would they be grafted in?
2 Chronicles 7:14. My people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I shall hear from heaven and I will heal their land. That's it.
Yep.
That promise is still in effect. Still in effect.
You know, you see Jeremiah in the prophecy of when it came to against Babylon, and you've seen, you know, one of the things that I was told to read that prophecy, and when I, what stuck out me the most in that prophecy, and really what they come in when you had the desert storm and desert strike, and these things came down. I mean, this was a prophecy from back then that came down not too long ago, upon the people. He said, even though they rejected the Holy One, which was Jesus, even though they rejected Him, He still came back. I mean, there was still a judgment against those that came against it, against Israel. Still.
For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And what happens when they actually, the fullness of the Gentiles come in, it looks like they're Pharisees all over again.
Yeah.
Going through the same issues that the Pharisees.
And you see the legalism being rounded about today in the churches. And, you know, not only that, I mean, the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And I'm thinking, Paul, isn't that the fullness of the cup of the iniquity that is full from the Gentiles?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm asking. I don't know. I mean, I'm
well, it is both a fullness of time, and there isn't an impending wrath until they move into unbelief. And what will happen is then the natural branches start getting grafted back in, and the ones who are just hanging around, living off the fat of land, they get cut off.
And you have, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, what's going to be the fullness of the Gentiles becoming? Is it going to be the Lord's anointed out, the one of the small strength that goes out, and they're going to reject the ones that are actually bringing His word and His gospel? They're going to reject, just like they rejected Jesus.
Right.
And they're going to reject the church and persecute the church, just like they did Jesus. And that's when that fullness of the Gentiles is going to come in.
Yeah.
Right?
So.
And, you know, right now we have time to be a part of that body and that church of going out.
Yeah, the irony of the whole thing is, it's like we're born on third base and we think we hit a triple. We didn't do a damn thing. It just didn't work. We think we bring something to the table we don't have. It's about what He did, not about what we did.
Amen. And anything other than obedience outside His will is just nothing.
Right. It isn't just about obedience to the law. If that could save you, then Jesus didn't have to die. It isn't just about obedience to the law. It's about obedience to His will. And His will, how many times did He say it? John 15.
Love God.
Love one another. Love
and
God. Love one another.
Amen. And you have... And you have, and I think one of the Hebrews was, I come to do thy will. Look, He's freed us to do His will. By what He has done. By what He has done.
I don't know if they're both in chapter 10 in Hebrews. It says it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If you're about yourself, and that's where that end is going to be, is falling into the hands of the living God. And elsewhere it says that our God is a consuming fire. And that in that He takes all of us. He takes all of us. He bought us with a price. He requires us to be about pleasing Him and glorifying Him, not
faith
ourselves.
In His name and what He has done.
Right. Trusting in His provision of His Son. Trusting in His perfection and His attention to the detail of the Father and the Father's will. And it is in His perfection where we have hope. And if we have hope in anything other than that, we are deceiving ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if we're teaching that to others, we're deceiving them too.
Yep.
And that'll be a blood on our hands.
Absolutely.
Well, I think we have come to the end. Unless you have anything else.
No, Paulie.
Alrighty then. I think we'll call it a week. I thank you for listening. I know it's always an experience. I do hope it was helpful and ministered to somebody out there. God bless everybody, and we'll see you next week.